Okay, welcome to the very first official episode of the All Creation Podcast. This first episode is kind of a big one, I guess. And honestly, this topic alone is what initially inspired me to even create a podcast version of All Creation. I feel like this has been placed on my heart to share. And I obviously am no expert and I'm still learning, but I think it's something that we can learn together. And the topic is, what does the Bible say about the shape of the earth? Yeah. When I first heard that maybe there is a different shape to the earth other than a globe, I wrote it off completely. I mean, like, it wasn't even a thought. When something is so ingrained into our psyches, honestly, at this point, and is just, it's taught by, like, everyone, it's a really disturbing thought that maybe that isn't true, like, what we live on. That's a major deal, you know? And the fact that that is maybe a lie is incredibly disturbing. And so, yeah, at first it was like, I didn't put any thought into it. I didn't pray about it. I didn't think about it. It was just a no. And it wasn't until my friend Haley brought it up that I actually looked at it again. And I think there's something to say right there about when someone you trust says something that you either don't agree with or you've never thought of or heard of even. If someone you trust, who you trust their discernment, you trust that they hear from the Lord and that they know His voice, I think we need to be listening. So when she first started talking about the earth potentially not being a globe and actually being flat, I felt like it was time to officially look more into this. And I think too, even the name like flat earth, I'm sure most of us have heard like, oh, the earth is flat. And like the name itself is deceiving, in my opinion. It makes it sound really dumb. Like, of course the earth isn't flat. That makes no sense. Like, we're in space. Like, what? There's just a flat piece of land in space. Like, it doesn't even make sense. And I think that's intentional, like the name, even to deceive us. Like, oh, flat earth, the flat earthers. And my friend Haley was actually the one also, when we were talking about it and talking about the name of it, we're like, this needs to have a better name than flat earth because it's kind of dumb. She was the one that originally said we should call it biblical earth. And I agree. So that is the title of this episode, Biblical Earth. Like, what is the Bible actually saying about the shape of the earth? Have we ever actually thought to look? And I'm talking to myself too. Like, as of very recently, I never thought even to check in with him on that. And this podcast is literally about his creation. And we'll cover a lot of different topics about his creation. And this might be the biggest one, like his design of the earth that we live on. What actually is it? That's like his, outside of just us, that is his most major creation. And I think we need to ask him and understand what that is, because we want to know our creator. And in order to know our creator, we need to know his creation. It's the same thing. It goes hand in hand, and he wants to teach us. And so I'm not coming from a place of expertise at all. I am so actively still learning and talking to him about this, and I'm bringing this topic up just so we can collectively talk to him about this, and that it actually doesn't have to be that strange to question it, what we've always been taught, because he is our teacher. He is our main teacher. So I guess the first part for me that stuck out to me was the question of why would they lie about this? Why would the world teach us something so massive that the earth is a certain way if it's not actually true? Why would they do that? And obviously we understand that the state of the world that we're living in right now is corrupt. So when I say they, it's just the teachers of this world, the enemy in this world. And that was the biggest light bulb moment for me, because I realized that this concept of we are living on a spinning globe catapulting through like black space, revolving around other balls, it's a very disconnected view of creation. And for a while, I thought, and one could argue that, you know, that is intimate because out of all of that space and time and matter and spinning and everything, that like he knows us. I can see that. And I think now for me personally, this is an even more intimate view of that. And I think that it would make the most sense if he would actually have made a plane of land directly beneath the heavens, at the center of creation, because he loves us and we are his main design. And if we would have always been taught that, and it's just us, and like maybe there aren't like huge massive planets around us also, it's literally just us, we're not part of a solar system, maybe we would have considered more that there is a God, because that seems incredibly intimate, you know. That puts us at the center of his creation. And the opposite of that, the thing that we've always been taught, I feel now, was always meant to hide the existence of a creator. And I just think that point in itself should make us really, really reconsider. And I've talked to, you know, close people in my life about this. And sometimes I've heard things like, you know, I don't want to know. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, I'll know someday. And that's totally true. And there's something really beautiful about being able to put our trust in him like that. And he does call us to be sober-minded and to be in light. I always come back to the verse in 1 Thessalonians that's like, he's talking about the return of the Lord, and he's saying that it will come like a thief in the night. But then right after that, he says, but you, brethren, I always come back to that. And so even in this instance, but you brethren, you were called to be sober-minded. And so we can put our trust in him and seek out his truth. And I think it's also important to consider, if we were never taught anything, ever, whether at school, even in the Bible, if nothing ever taught us literally anything, we were just here, and we were to just walk outside and look around and just observe, what do you think we would think that we are on? Do you think that we would think that we are spinning or that we're still? Do you think we'd think we were on a ball or on a piece of land? To me, I would walk outside and nothing seems to be moving. I look around, everything seems to be pretty flat, and I know that the earth is very large, so I understand that point. It's just very interesting when you just observe. And then you pair that with your intuition that God gave you, his word, what you see with your own eyes, and other people's lived experiences and experiments, it seems to point to a flat earth. One of the main resources that I've used is this book, which is thick like a textbook. It's called The Greatest Lie on Earth. And there is just chapter after chapter after chapter of just like really obvious points. It seems like once it clicks, it's like, oh yeah. So I wanted to share some of them and just some that I've learned as I've looked into this further. Okay, so you think about the planets. Okay. If you were to look through a telescope, zoom in on one of the planets, they would look round. So you'd be like, okay, there you go. Sphere. I'm a sphere. They're a sphere. Actually though, the lenses on telescopes are curved. So whatever you zoom in on, it will appear curved. They're convex lenses. And people have done this where they've created a telescope with a flat lens and you zoom in on it so you can see it as it is. They're actually like orbs of light. It's fascinating if you actually look into it. You think about the ocean and water in general. Water's always, always flat on the top. If the earth was a globe, the ocean would be impossible, straight up. It would be impossible. You think about flying in an airplane and pilots. As far as I know, pilots do not adjust for the curve. In order to maintain the altitude, they don't like tilt the tip of the plane a little bit downwards just to account for the curve. Does that make sense? If you're flying long distances, your altitude would greatly shift if the earth was curved. there have been multiple like emergency landings on planes too, that they land in a place that does not make sense for them to land if the map looked like it did on a spherical Earth. But if you looked at the flat Earth map, it would totally make sense why they landed there. And also, if you go off of the equation of a spherical Earth, the equation of how far we should be able to see before the curve sets in, there have been an endless amount of studies and experiments done where there is no way we should be able to see where we're seeing. The book talks about it. I'll share a few more resources that talk about it. But, and this is not our equation. This is the equation that we're given by them, you know, and it doesn't add up, literally. You think about Antarctica, which in the flat Earth model, or in the biblical Earth model, this is what it would look like. It's a flat plane of land. We are not rotating. We are still. We have a dome above us, the firmament. There's waters above the firmament. There's heaven. Hell is beneath us, while the sun and the moon are moving above us. There's an upturned edge around the plane of land. And actually, Antarctica would be that surrounding edge that's holding everything in. And there was one man specifically that decided he would just go across the whole entire coastline, which should have been, I think it was like 11,000 miles, and it was like 60,000 miles. And I just want to read specifically what the Bible says about this, and the resources that I'll share go into it definitely more. I'll just share a few of them regarding the firmament, the shape, and the movement, like if it's stationary or not. So when you think about the firmament, you really have to decide between the firmament or outer space. I don't really believe that those two things can coexist at all. When the flood happened in Genesis with Noah, you know, the firmament was opened and the earth was flooded. And some people believe that it broke open the firmament and then it's gone. Yet, I believe it's like 1500 years later in Psalms 148:4, David references the firmament again. He says, "Praise him, you heavens of heavens and you waters above the heavens." So that's pointing to the fact that they are still intact. Psalm 19:1, which I love because it kind of encapsulates the vision with all creation and the vision with this podcast. But it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." Job 37:18 says, "Have you spread out the skies, strong as a cast metal mirror?" And that's talking about the firmament above. And Ezekiel 1:26 says, "And above the firmament, over their heads, was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone." And you go back to the very beginning, Genesis 1:6. "Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so." Here are a couple talking about the shape of the earth. Job 38:14 says, "That it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it. It takes on form like clay under a seal, and stands out like a garment." So that part where it says like clay under a seal, you think of how that looks. Like if you were to get a letter in the mail with a seal of clay on the front, and how the edges are a little bit upturned and the middle is pressed in, that is what they're saying that the earth would look like. Revelation 7:1 says, "After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth." And again, I want to mention too, like there is so much symbolism in the Bible, and I totally understand that. And there are so many literal things in the Bible, and we have to understand that too. And then this I thought was amazing, and this is talked about in one of the resources I'll share. But in Revelation 29, it says, "They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city." So that word breadth, it comes from the Greek word platos. And that Greek word platos means spread out flat. And the word there used for earth is also gi, which means the whole earth. It's not just talking about a part of the earth. And then whether the earth is stationary or moving. Zechariah 1:11 says, "So they answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth is resting quietly." Psalm 93:1 says, "Surely the world is established, so that it cannot be moved." 1 Chronicles 16:30 says, "Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved." Psalm 104:5, "You who laid the foundations of the earth, so that it should not be moved forever." Psalm 96:10, Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. And that one is found so many times, and you even consider just how many times it's referenced that heaven is above us, him coming down to us, us looking up to him. And I'm believing now more and more that to be very literal. And obviously we have to consider Joshua 10, which talks about him commanding the sun and the moon to stand still. If he had to command the sun and the moon to stand still, they are obviously moving. He did not command the earth to stand still, which is something else to consider. So I know that part is a little lengthy, but it's just so important for us to understand that he does reference it so many times in the Bible, and there's way more than I even referenced right there. I would just encourage us, just as believers or as a collective, that we choose to hear his voice above all the others, no matter what we've been taught, and that his voice of truth is really, really supernaturally clear to us right now, in this time, in these days, and what he's saying about certain things, and that we're able to know him as our creator way more because we're understanding his creation, because all of that reveals his heart for us. And I believe that we are at the center and at the heart of his design and creation. And we have to just be able to humble ourselves and to be teachable by him. And so there you go. I'll leave you with that. There's so much to it and so much you can look into and pray about and ask him to show you. But this is really just meant to be a starting point, just to open up that realm of consideration and thinking. And so I'll share a two-part podcast that was the initial thing that my friend shared with me. And it's an interview with a pastor who has studied this for years and years and years now, and his perspective on it is just really deep, really refreshing, and feels really sound. There's also another podcast show called The Flat Earth Files that I've gone through a few of their episodes, but that's pretty dense too. And then obviously the book that I mentioned is, and I'm not even fully through it. It is extensive and rich, also written by a believer. He just has a beautiful perspective with it all. And I'd love to hear what you think about all this. And I trust that he'll continue to teach us together.